Okay, so we're moving now to the second half of Hodu. So we had mentioned from Rav Shimon Schwab that Negadelcha, when we in Baruch Shama, meant intertwined to form a larger unit. And the rest of Hodu are basically these Gedilim, these chords, where we combine Sukkim that will express a unique form of praise to Hashem that correspond to the Negadelcha back in Baruch Shama. So the first Gedil we say is Romumu Hashem Elokeinu Vishtachal Ladam Ragov Kadoshu. Romu Hashem Elokeinu Vishtachal Arkashik Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu. These two psukim have the same beginning and similar endings, but differ as to the object of the bowing. The word Ishtachava does not mean simply to bend down before something, but rather to prostrate oneself fully on the ground, with his arms and legs outstretched, which is really how we're supposed to do it in Yom Kippur, but due to a lack of space, we don't. But it's a sign of one's total subservience to Hashem. And by laying flat on the ground, we're symbolically expressing the Bitul Hayesh, the complete negation of our own ego. And by doing this, we're expressing the thought that compared to you, Hashem, I am a nothing. I'm equivalent to the ground. So in a matter of speaking, the more one gives up of himself vis-a-vis Hashem, the more elevated Hashem becomes. And the more the human being, the person, is conscious of his own importance, the less elevated Hashem becomes in the world. So the first pasuk's directed towards mankind in general. Elevate Hashem in your mind and express it by prostrating yourself at his footstool because he's holy. The second pasuk's directed to Klal Yisrael, that you, Klal Yisrael, you should prostrate yourself at his holy mountain, the base of Migdash, and thereby, by doing that, elevate Hashem to an even higher level. We then move into the next gedil, the next set of psukim, where we ask Hashem, we implore him for rachamim. So we have three psukim of rachamim. The pasuk v'hurachum is very familiar to us, for we recite it at least four times every single day, once in Hodu, once in Hichavod, once in Valtzion, and then again in Marv. Each time it's recited, we add an additional thought, which was not included in an earlier recital. Mirachem would mean he is merciful. However, v'hurachum in the, again, passive pu'al form means he responds mercifully. So if we daven for rachamim, he will give it to us. And he is responsive to our request for mercy. And we know that punishment for avarus is not an act of vengeance by Hashem, but it's sent to purify the person. That if one dares to rebel against his will, the Midas Adin would dictate that the wrongdoing be immediately and severely punished. However, v'hurachum, since he is responsive to our request for mercy, he will yichaper avon, cover over our sin, even our intentional sins, v'lo yashchas, and he does not destroy the person as a result of his sins. V'hirbo l'ashiv apoy v'lo yor kol chamoso, his anger, which would result in that swift, strict punishment, is often withdrawn in favor of a more lenient method of extending the punishment, smaller doses, a longer period of time. He meets out a pain here, a sickness there, sadness, worries, disappointments, frustrations, and failures over one's lifetime to make the punishment tolerable. All these, if he would give it at once, would amount to a horrible punishment. But since he is rachum, he does not awaken all his fury at once. A person would not survive if he did so. So we ask Hashem to stretch out any punishment which we may deserve over a period of time, make it tolerable for us. This is analogous to one who has an overwhelming debt, which he cannot possibly repay at once. But if he's able to pay it back in small increments, if he lives long enough, he will eventually be liquidated and have paid it all back. So the first v'urachim of the day is a tefillah for each individual personally, as dictated by the second strand, where we say, Ata Hashem lo sichlo rachamech mimeni chascha v'amitcha tamin yitzruni. Chesed and emes are often mentioned together. Chesed, as used here, refers to the fact that Hashem overlooks our mistakes and accepts our tshuva, and the person is then forgiven. However, emes refers to the true nature of a person's actions. While the gratification that results from doing an avera may taste sweet at the time we do the avera, in reality, in the emes, it's very bitter. And conversely, a mitzvah can often seem bitter and fraught with a lot of difficulties, or holding oneself back from a very tempting avera might seem quite difficult and bitter. However, in truth, that is really very sweet. So if Hashem offers the person an opportunity to rehabilitate himself and as a result he suffers physical pain, this pain, this bitterness, is really what that Avera was. The perceived sweetness has turned into the MS of what it really was in the first place. And this contrast between perception and actuality is expressed in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, where they say, Ho ha omrim l'ra tov v'la tov ra, samim ma l'mosok v'mosok mar. Woe to those who consider what is bad good and what is good bad. They make bitter that which is sweet, and sweet that which is bitter. Therefore, the meaning of Chas l'chav amitcha tamid yitzruni is that the individual davens, may the chesed of Hashem protect me from punishment. However, if he finds that I need to be punished for my averos, and must consequently experience the emes of my actions, may the suffering awaken my mind to tshuva, and this will then be my protection in the future. And then we say, Zechar achamecha Hashem achasadecha kilom hema, we are asking Hashem to remember us mercifully with his midah rachamim, with which he created the world, as we know, olam chesed yibane. The next gedil is the threefold combination of the word oz, strength. We say, tenu oz le'elokim, the word oz has a general meaning of strength. However, if Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says, it really means invincible, which is why Torah is called oz. Simply, we are saying, ascribe all the power of God. However, on a deeper level, when we do any mitzvah, when we daven, when we learn, it results in a kedusha and a bracha that's being brought into the world. So in a matter of speaking, we're actually enhancing the power of Hashem in the world by doing His will. And in this way, we are giving power to Hashem. Then we say, Al Yisrael Gavaso, He is proud that His nation brings His power into the world by their performance of the mitzvos and learning Torah. Ve'uzo bashchokim, Hashem does not need us to bring His brachos into the world because He's independently all-powerful. However, it is His will that His brachos of Kedusha, Tahara, Simcha, and Shalom be bestowed upon the world as a result to our doing mitzvos, our learning Torah, and our davening to Him. And that comes, and then we say, Nora Elokim Mikdashecha, which refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And then we have the last those, we say, Kel Yisrael, who knows Saint Oz V'satzumus Lom Baruch Elokim. Here we bless Hashem for giving us Oz, the power of Torah. And Satsumos, various forms of great bone-like strength, all which enable us to withstand that suffering and the pressures inflicted on us by the outside world. The next gedil talks about vengeance, nekama. Now the word nakam actually means rectifying a wrong which was committed. So we say, kel nakama soshem, kel nakama sofia, hainasi shavet haaretz. We're asking Hashem to appear, to arise as the judge of the world, to bring order into the world, and to let us witness how He will rectify the horrific wrongs which have been perpetrated against us throughout the history. V'hashev gmol geim, and render recompense to the haughty, and to pay them back for what they've done incorrectly to us and needs to be rectified. We then add one more pasuk to this gedil, to this chord, and we say, while the evil doer in this world is suffering under Midas Adin, as represented from Kel Nekamos Hashem, we say to Hashem, LaHashem HaYeshua Alamcha V'Chasecha Sela, we've already suffered our full measure, we shall suffer no more, because on your people is your blessing, Sela, and therefore, we've suffered enough. Next we combine two psukim, combining the words, containing the words of Hashem Tzivakos. Now the term Hashem Tzivakos usually translates as the God of Hosts, which is one of Hashem's names, which has a kedusha and cannot be erased. The word Tzivaos actually means a large multitude of people or things, like an army, which is where the word Tzava, army, comes from. The idea of Hashem Tzivakos, used as Hashem's name, has an overwhelming connotation. It means that everything that He has created has a purpose. Just as we, B'nai Yisrael, have a purpose in this life, so do all other people, including all the Rishayim. Every part of the human body has a purpose. Every animal, every creature, the billions of insects, and even the smallest molecules, all were created by Hashem for a purpose. We may not understand what the purpose they serve, what's their purpose in the world, but nevertheless, they're all part of that Tzava of Hashem. Every person, including the physically or mentally impaired person, has a purpose. As we know from the story of David HaMelech with Avimelech, where David asked, why did you make shotas in the world? And Hashem said, you're going to need this. And he was captured once by Avimelech, and David made himself into a shota, where he was drooling and all these different things. And Avimelech said, if that's who the king of Klal Yisrael is, we can send him on, we don't have to take care of him. And David was helped to remain free. So the meaning of Hashem Tzivakos, or Elokim Tzivakos, be it whether it's the Midas Adin or Midas Rachamim, is again that all creations of Hashem, from the microscopic to the cosmic, are all part of that army, part of that tzava of Hashem. Every component of His army was given its rank, its place, and its purpose of existence. However, the specific component is beyond our comprehension. Nevertheless, regarding each person's own view of himself, he has to feel that his existence is necessary. He should know that if Hashem placed him in the world, his life has a purpose, and every minute of it is very precious. So in the first pasuk we say, Hashem Tzivakos Imanu Miskavlan Elokei Yaakov Sela, that you, our Creator, who has given us as a descendant of Yaakov a special purpose in life, are with us, Miskavlanu. You have thereby lifted us up. You are the tower of strength, and the word miskav comes from the combination of sagi, which means strong, and gavoro, which is high. So it's that tower of strength. In the second pasuk, we say, Shem Tzivakos, Asher Adam B'Techbach, happy and fortunate is the person who has achieved the level B'Tachon, in which he accepts that Hashem is the Hashem Tzivakos, who in his wisdom has created everything, notwithstanding the fact that human beings do not understand the purpose of most of creation. The next gedil, the next chord, consists of two psukim in regard to Yeshua. Now the word Yeshua is used for salvation from a situation that seems totally hopeless. So in the first pasuk we call upon Hashem to answer our tefillos in such situations. In the second, we as the special people of Hashem ask Him to care for us as a shepherd would. Even in hopeless situations, the shepherd is always watching his sheep. However, we add a wish that we may be elevated to an awareness of His constant Yeshua and intervention in our lives. The next intertwined chord, the next gedil, is a threefold combination in the concept of betachon. In the Leket Hanhogos HaChazonish, he quotes some aphorisms of the Chazonish there concerning real betachon. Among them, it says, betachon is a conviction that nothing happens by accident, and everything which occurs has been previously predetermined by Hashem, as the Gemara tells us. No one as much cuts his finger here below unless it's been previously announced above. Nothing happens by accident. All occurrences are part of the plan of Hashem. If one is convinced of this, he has betachon. The Chazon is further states that the hashkacha pratis of Hashem towards a person is based on that measure of betachon that a person has in Hashem. The more intense the betachon the person has in Hashem, the closer Hashem then pays attention to him. Betachon is not wishful thinking, as for instance, things will be well with me. But it's the conviction that if Hashem wills it, then things will be well with me. And this concept of betachon is expressed in these three psukim, as we say, Nafshenu chiksel Hashem esreinu moginenu hu, our souls yearn for Hashem, and while we have betachon in Him, He is our helper and protector. As a result of our betachon in Him, He becomes that Savior and that protector. Kivo yismach libeinu kivishem kacho betachnu, while we place our trust in His holy name, at that time our hearts are gladdened. That during the time of one's betachon in Hashem, he has a blissful feeling of joy. He's in Hashem's hands, he can relax, all fear leaves him. And then the last one, Hichasach Hashem Aleinu Kasher Yichalnu Loch. At the moment we look forward to His help and place our trust in Him, His loving kindness is upon us. The final gedil, the final chord of this section, is composed of two psukim, in which we ask Hashem to fulfill our betachon. We say, Hareinu Hashem Chasdecha V'Yashecha Titen Lanu. We yearn to actually experience that for which we have been davening and praying for. Kumas rasalanu ufteinu l'man chasdecha. We ask Hashem to arise, to pay attention, so that we may realize the fulfillment of our hopes. Now, Ezrasa is the feminine or the weaker form of the word of Ezer, of help. Ezrasa has the connotation of assisting, meaning what we're saying is that by us having betachon, we have done our part, and now we ask Hashem to complement this and do His part, of bringing about the actual Yeshua, which we're davening and hoping for. In response to these aforementioned tefillos, we now quote the answer of Hashem, and we say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hama'alcham Eretz Mitzrayim, Harchev Piyav Amaleyu, that you may rest assured that I, Hashem, your God, who lifted you from the land of Mitzrayim, will fulfill even the greatest requests which could possibly fill your mouth. Yetzias Mitzrayim was not only a physical redemption from slavery, but it was also a spiritual redemption from the depravity of the Egyptian society. Once the Egyptian culture was left behind and we realized the true purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim as an everlasting one, then we become entitled to open our mouths as wide as possible and make any request that can continue to elevate us. And we now prepare now to conclude this part of Sugi the Zimra, and we joyfully exclaim, Ashriyam Shekachalo, Ashriyam Shehashem Elokav, how fortunate are we that as long as we desire to enhance our uplifted status by developing our Torah lives, we are encouraged to ask Hashem for the greatest possible assistance in this regard. And He has pronounced that He will grant it to us. And then we close and we say, Vani v'chastecho v'tachti, yoga libi b'shuasecha, shir l'shem ki gama aloi. In conclusion, the individual proclaims, I, who have always had trust in your loving kindness, ask that in the future my heart may jubilate because of the salvation that you will send. And I want to sing to Hashem when He brings His promises to fruition. Gamal, as we mentioned in the past, means ripening, and when one has betachon, his wishes at that point are just buds. They exist, but they're incomplete. However, when Hashem makes those wishes come true, then gamal oloi, they have then ripened. Now, in conclusion of Hodu, Rav Shimon Pinkus tells us there are two yesodos that we need to work in this world. There's the sor meira aspect, there's the aseh tov aspect. And we need to remove the blockages of evil, as the Satan tells us, as the Gemara tells us, I should say, who Satan, who Yetzirah, who Malach HaMavos. And it's his job to block us from that Ar HaEmes, from the light of truth. And the main place of this evil takes place in our world. However, Pinkus says it is also a Malchama, a battle that takes place in what's called the Olam Malachim, which is the second of the four Olamos. And as we know, the Yetzirah is the Malach HaMavos. He's a Malach. So in the first part of davening of brachos, karbonos, and in the second part, the shiras and tishbachos of Sukkot Zimra, we're involved in removing these forces that hold us back from serving Hashem properly. The specific tefillah, Rav Pinkus says, for this is hodu. As the psukim are constantly opening our eyes and the eyes of the world to the clarity of the yichud Hashem. And the Yetzirah has just one job, and that's to befuddle us to the truth of this yichud Hashem. He comes to each person in a language that can penetrate him. There's a whole world out there. You need to start enjoying it. You can't just live with Hashem. You have to be normal. There's more than just Torah and mitzvahs out there. And once he plants that thought in us, he's found his opening for all other evil. And it stems from one source, a lack of clarity, again, of Yichud Hashem. So our job, he says in davening, is to be miyachid, the name of Hashem in the world. When we get up, the Yetzirah comes quickly to us and says, see, you have eyes, they're yours. To which we respond to that, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Olam, Pakeach Ivrim, I have nothing. It's only because Hashem opens my eyes that I have eyes. And therefore, the brachos and karbanos deal with the Yetzirah in this world, the taiva, the etzem taiva that we have to do the Aveira. Then there's the Malach who comes to battle with us, as we know Yaakov fought with Esar Shel Esav. And the Gemara tells stories of how the Satan dressed up as women to destroy the Tanoim, and he came to Rabbi Akiva, Rav Meir, Rav Amram Chasida, all different stories of where the Satan tried to bring these Tanoim down. So in Psukah de Zimra, after we're Masakin our world, we then use these Shiros and Sishbachos to bring a clarity of Hashem and battle the Yetzirah on the level of the Malachim. And Hodu specifically deals with this battle. We mentioned last week that there are two minhagim as to when one says Hodu. Whether you say it as a continuation of Brachos and Karbonos before Baruch Shamar, or as we do in Nusach Ashkenaz, as part of Psukah de Zimra after Baruch Shamar. And these two Shitos, Rav Pinkus says, is disagreeing in where we need Hodu to fight this evil, this Ra, whether it's in this world or in the world of the Malachim. But they both agree that Hodu is said to uproot this evil of the Yetzirah. And Rav Pinkus says, there are times that people feel that they have to skip part of davening. And one of those usual casualties, he says, becomes Hodu. And therefore, he's missing this light. And when one says Psukah de Zimra, he brings Kedusha in the world, and even more so when he says Hodu. And he says a person could go day after day, year after year, skipping Hodu, and he's just like a person who doesn't take care of himself physically, and after many years of neglect, goes to the doctor and complains about how he feels. And the doctor says, you should have come all these years ago. I can't change the clock. I can't turn it back now. It's too late. So too, one who skips Hodu on a constant basis. We need to be mechazik ourselves in this, and in that way, we remove the evil from the world and strengthen the Kedusha and Tahara and are able to focus on the Yichud Hashem. Continuing our story from last week, so last week we had started a story of this guy Bernie, who does a lot of talking in shul, and he had received a copy of an email that was written from one malach to another malach. So Bernie Goldberg spotted the email on his computer with a strange subject title, Malachim Conference on Decorum. Bernie opened the email, read through the memo with disbelief. At first he was slightly amused, but by the time he finished reading the correspondence, he was outraged. What a chutzpah to make me the subject of a practical joke, he thought to himself. That Shabbos, he brought the copies of the email to shul and distributed them to his friends. Davening that week was particularly noisy as Bernie's chaverim loudly attacked the anonymous sender. It was clear to everyone that Rabbi Cohn authored this unbecoming letter, and they concurred that the rabbi had gone too far this time. And the rabbi in turn responded to the noise with a fiery talk. I just don't understand your conduct. I know most people have personal difficulties in life. It could be a family illness, a financial crisis, a lack of shalom bayis, a troubled child. Everyone has his or her own peckle. No doubt when each of us daven to Hashem 3 times a day, we ask him to resolve those problems that rest most heavily on our hearts. Imagine if your employee would approach you for a raise and say, I feel I deserve a $5,000 increase in salary. Let me tell you why. Suddenly he spots his friend in the hallway and walks away to speak to him. When he finishes, he resumes his request. I put in long hours from, but before he finishes his sentence, he pulls out his cell phone and calls his stockbroker for 10 minutes. When the call's over, it begins again. So as I was saying, I work hard. Then he turns his back to you and looks out the window and talks to people passing by about the weather and other things. Would you give this fellow a raise? Well, of course not. In all likelihood, you'd reduce his salary or even fire him on the spot. Do you think Hashem listens to your pleas when you constantly interrupt your prayers, you're davening to speak to a friend or a neighbor? More likely, you make the situation worse by your insulting behavior. He says, my friends, the great 18th century posek, the Chayyadam, writes, at the end of a period of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people compromised their religious values. And Yeshayahu Navi chastised the people in the name of Hashem, when you come to appear before me, who sought this from your hand to trample my courtyards. In other words, Hashem said to them, who asked you to come to my Beis HaMikdash? If you act immorally, I do not want you in my Beis HaMikdash. The Chayyadam says the same rebuke applies to those who act inappropriately in shul. Hashem says to them, who wants this? Who's here? Mi'chidim rimos chatzerai, that who sought this from your hand to trample in my courtyard? And if this is the case, perhaps it would be better if you daven at home, alone, rather than come to shul. The people didn't like Rabbi Cohn's suggestion for home davening one bit. He's just antisocial, they said. Chaim Green, one of the members of the Talkers Club, was quiet and pensive that Shabbos morning. Bernie asked him if anything was wrong. Well, what if that email was not written by Rabbi Cohn, but by a real-life malach? Bernie was agitated. Chaim, are you for real? Malachim don't have conferences. They don't send email. The whole thing is an obvious prank. Chaim persisted. Maybe Hashem is upset that we talk so much in shul. Maybe he doesn't communicate with ordinary mortals. He disguised his message in a story about a Malachim conference. For a moment, Bernie hesitated and considered this suggestion, but he promptly regained his composure and dismissed Chaim's misgivings. Don't worry, he said, and quickly walked away.